everybody. Welcome to our on-air meeting in lieu of an in-person meeting. In case anybody didn't hear me talking to Marcel a few minutes ago, the format of tonight's meeting will basically be we'll go through a round of check-ins by quadrants like we usually do on the Wednesday night Nets. Then different members of the leadership team will speak, and then we'll get our speech from Marcel. And then we'll do additional round of check-ins, let his radio cool down, and then we'll probably go back and let him finish that off. Then we'll go to some other business, or we may throw some other business in between Dr. Kosovets' presentation, and then the final round of check-ins and everything. But anyway, we'll go ahead and start, rather than having people with business or business for the net, we'll just poll everybody on the leadership team and see if anybody else has anything. So let's start check-ins like we normally do in the Northeast Quadrant. Anybody wishing to check in tonight in the Northeast Quadrant, please call.
KA8RLC, Kilo Alpha 8, Romeo Lima Charlie, Cal.
Kilo 8, Lima Echo, K8LE, Andy.
November 8, Papa Victor Charlie, John.
Kilo Delta 8, Papa Hotel Golf, the name is Richard.
Kilo Delta 8, India Oscar November, Patrick.
KE8MVN, Mike Victor November, Terry.
Kilo Delta 8, Yankee Foxtrot Whiskey, Terry also.
Kilo Delta 8, Sierra Yankee Papa, Bob.
Okay, net hold. Boy, a bunch of them came at me once, but I think I got everybody. K8RLC Cal, K8LE Andy, N8PVC John, K8PHT Richard, K8ION Patrick, K8MVN Terry, K8YFW Terry, and K8SYP Bob. Any additional in the Northeast? One last call for the Northeast Quadrant. Nothing heard other than a key up. We'll move it down to the Southeast Quadrant. Any stations wanting to check in from the Southeast Quadrant, please call now.
Kilo Delta 8, Sierra Yankee Tango, KD8SYT, Lynn.
Kilo Bravo 8, Yankee Victor India, KB8YVI, Phil.
Alpha Bravo 8, Mike Whiskey, AB8MW, Mike.
Kilo Bravo 8, Charlie Mike Whiskey, KB8CMW, Paul. KD8SYT Lynn, KB8YVI Phil, AB8MW Mike, KB8CMW Paul, and NEYMT Jay. Any additional Southeast Quadrant? Okay, I bet there will be some people checking in later after 8 o'clock. Those that did not get my email from the One Call Now system about the net beginning at 7:30. Anyway, let's move on over to the Southwest Quadrant. Please call KD8IIB.
Whiskey 8, Romeo Whiskey, Romeo, Bob.
QY, Denny.
Kilo Delta 8, Hotel X-ray.
KD8 HVX. Jim?
Kilo Delta 8. Kilo Sierra India. KD8 KSI Holly.
Kilo Delta 8 Romeo Tango Papa John Northeast.
Okay, we got KD8WQY Denny, KD8HBX Jim, KD8KSI Holly, and up in the Northeast, late KD8RTP John. Anybody else in the Southwest?
Whiskey 8 Romeo, Whiskey Romeo, Bob.
W8RWR, Bob got you in there. We did have a double with Denny. I suspect that may have been you, just from the tail end of it. Anybody else? Southwest Quadrant. All right, let's move up to the Northwest Quadrant.
Whiskey 8 Romeo Victor, W8RV, Ken.
Echo 8, Alpha, November Whiskey, Brian, KE8ANW.
Kilo 6, Hotel, Romeo Uniform, K6HRU, Bruce.
Alpha Delta 8, Charlie Mike, Marcel, AD8CM.
Kilo 8, Oscar Victor Papa, K8OVP Frank.
N8SEY, November 8, Sierra Echo Yankee, Sharon.
Net hold, we acknowledge W8RV Ken, KE8ANW Brian, K6HRU Bruce, AD8CM Marcel, K8OVP Frank, and N8SEY Sharon. And we did have a massive pileup in the beginning there, so if anybody else in the Northwest Quadrant was just now not acknowledged, that's because you were involved in the pileup. So continue on with Northwest Quadrant.
W8 KWG Whiskey 8 Kilo Whiskey Golf Gail.
Kilo Echo 8 Delta Romeo Delta Doc KE8 DRD.
Acknowledges W8KWG Gale and KE8DRD Doc. And we did have a key up there with no audio in case you were trying to get in. One more time for the Northwest Quadrant. Hearing nothing additional for the Northwest, let's try any stations outside of Franklin County or inside that checked in late here. Any stations outside or inside of Franklin County? KD8IIB.
Whiskey 4, Juliet Echo Romeo, W4JER, Jeremy.
That's Kilo Delta 8, Sierra Charlie Lima, Brett, Licking County.
Acknowledge W4JER Jeremy, KE88CZ Ken, and KD8SCL Brett. And Ken, a lot of noise came in with you. I'm not sure if it was somebody doubling with you or if you just had an audio problem, but there was a lot of background noise. Sounded like a double. Just for your info. Any additional stations outside or inside of Franklin County?
This is Kilo Delta 8, Oscar Foxtrot Tango. That's Daniel in Northeast Quadrant, late check-in.
Kilo Bravo, Steve.
Daniel, KD8OFT, we got you in there. There was another station, Kilo Bravo, and nothing else after that. Try again. Okay, hearing no more check-ins at this time. Like I said, we'll go back to the words of wisdom, if you want to call it that, from some of the leadership team members. Starting off, John, NAPBC, you have something?
Why, of course. So I want to remind everyone about the COVID-19 and all those social distancing rules that we all need to follow. I think it's good that we're doing pretty well, and I know our speaker tonight will have some more to say about that a little later on. I think right now that's all I have to say. I may follow up later. Thanks, Kevin. NAPBC.
Okay, no problem. We'll keep you in mind for our closing statements, if you will. Cal, you have anything?
This is K8RLC. Nothing special in the events coming up. About the only thing that's sitting on the schedule now, to remind everyone, on the 25th of April is NVIS Day. Otherwise, everything else seems to be put off for a while. K8RLC.
Okay, thanks, Cal. Andy, your turn.
This is Andy, K8RLC. Just a couple of items regarding the Emergency Communications Readiness Program. We just completed a round of sign-ups for testing at the various Franklin County locations in the months of May through December. And we have just about all of the testing slots spoken for, except for three at the very tail end of the year. So we're very gratified by the response. The other item I have pertains to the new building for the Franklin County Coroner's Office. They'll be opening up their new building in May, and we're not certain of the date, but we will be moving our equipment over to the new building, and henceforth we'll be operating from that location. So unless there are any questions, that's all I have. This is K8LE.
Anybody with questions for Andy regarding that? Okay, and Andy, just FYI, once they move, you could probably put me on the list to check that location, since I believe it's going to be fairly close to me. Hi.
Yeah, that'll be real handy for you.
Okay, Richard, give us some liaison information for the state.
Yeah,
As John already mentioned, COVID-19 is certainly the major issue going on in the state right now. The state EOC is still very much active in regards to the current pandemic. The primary objective right now seems to revolve around the subject of PPE, or personal protective equipment. But outside of that, so far it really has not involved amateur radio, so we've been able to keep consistent with our Tuesday night nets, and just trying to be in a state of readiness. That having been said, the one thing I will offer up is that even at the state EOC, they are now requiring anyone that does show up at the EOC have some sort of face mask. It's satisfactory to be cloth masks, but I may actually have a follow-up question regarding that for our speaker tonight. But other than that, that's about all I can offer right now from the EOC, unless there's any questions. So with that, I'll hand it back to you, Kevin. KD8PHG.
I think I can add to that. From what I've heard, is they also require not only the face masks, but also temperature checks before you come. Any other questions for Richard regarding that? John, KD8RTP, go ahead.
Thank you, Kevin. Good evening to the net. The only thing I have is that we're posting on the website that classes have been suspended and probably until fall. It doesn't look like we're going to have any chance to do any classwork till then. And that's all I have. Back to you, Kevin.
Thank you, John. And even though I didn't hear him check in, I'll put a call out to NAUTI to see if he's on the air now. Well, apparently Ed didn't make it to the net, at least yet. So if he checks in later, we'll see if he has anything to say. Well, that runs through, unless I forgot somebody, I think that basically runs through the leadership team. So, Marcel, 88CM, do you want to go ahead and start off and then let me know when you need a break, and we'll go for additional check-ins and stuff at that time?
That's perfect. Thank you. Kevin, good afternoon, Net. This is Marcel, 88CM. I have an update on the COVID situation in Central Ohio from the perspective of the Poison Control Center and a little bit from the perspective of the healthcare community. Poison Center, since this has started, has been very busy. It's primarily a public health emergency, an infectious disease emergency, not a poisoning emergency. So why is the Poison Center so busy? Understand we're a group of doctors, nurses, and pharmacists that are staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our healthcare services are trusted not only by the general public, but also by community physicians and other healthcare providers, and also the state and local health departments. Information from our calls is entered into a database in real time, and there are data systems that both the State Department of Health and the CDC can monitor in real time. And we have really good people who are totally awesome at taking call after call after call, both from public and from healthcare providers. Because we're chronically underfunded, few years ago, we started taking contracts with local health departments and the state public health department to take their after-hours calls, basically as an answering service. But as healthcare professionals, we were given plenty of latitude to actually resolve some of the problems that come in based on protocols provided by the health departments. One set of calls we've handled for the state is the Class A reportable disease line, and that's where COVID comes in. A typical day at the Poison Center is about 150 cases, some requiring multiple calls. But besides those 150, lately we've been getting another 100 to 200 public health calls, almost all about COVID, and some calls reporting multiple cases. That situation just got better literally yesterday when ODH the day before announced that COVID no longer has to be reported as a Class A reportable disease. They're now calling it A minus, allowing doctors to wait till the next business day and to report cases using a web system, saving a lot of phone calls. So today the staff at the Poison Center had time to breathe between calls. Besides the extra public health calls, the regular poison control work has continued unabated. In the past few weeks, we have seen a lot of calls we should have predicted were coming. Keep a bunch of children at home. Keep their grown-ups busy watching the news. And keep a bunch of household cleaning products out and about, plus some medicines, and you can all expect kids and others will be getting into trouble, resulting in calls to the Poison Center. This afternoon I looked at our case logs from January 1 to April 15, and I compared 2020 to 2019. So far this year, our bleach calls are up to 165% of what we had last year. Hand sanitizer calls are up to 127% of last year's values. With these two groups of products in particular, most of these extra calls are mildly poisoned patients with only minor effects and a few moderate effects. And the vast majority of callers about these poisonings got to stay home. Our case numbers for drugs like chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine are much smaller. But when you multiply them, the values seem a whole lot higher. So for chloroquine, we're up 300% of where we were last year, but that represents three cases instead of one. For hydroxychloroquine, we're up to 165% as many cases as we had last year. The trouble with these two drugs is their side effects are significant, and we're not able to keep people with these exposures at home. Several have required significant medical care at the hospital. A group of calls I did not expect, but looking back probably should have, is the number of suicide attempts and the serious increase in drug overdose deaths. My perspective, it looks like the drug dealers consider their work essential. And when people lose jobs, lose their retirement savings, lose loved ones, and live in fear and anxiety, they get suicidal. not counted in the COVID statistics, but they are very much real. So here's tonight's public service announcement. Please program the poison control telephone number into your phones, please. That's 1-800-222-1222. So you can get a doctor, nurse, or pharmacist when you need us. Kevin, I think I'll take a break here, please.
Okay, I have one quick question for you before we get to the regular Q&A. I'll probably hold the second Q&A till after your second part. But one quick question, which I'm sure some other people were thinking of asking. When you're given those 165% and et cetera numbers for January through April 15th of this year compared to last year, was that for the whole year of last year or the same time period, like January through April of last year?
Yeah, yes, sir. Those were January 1 to April 15 of 2019 compared to January 1 to midday April 15th of 2020.
Okay, that sounds a little better. I was afraid that maybe those numbers were, you know, the whole year of 2019 versus just these 3 months, 3.5 months, or whatever of 2020. Okay, so your radio can rest. Let's go back to additional check-ins at this time. Any other stations out there wishing to check into our on-air Wednesday night meeting, please call now. Net Control, KD8IIB. Any additional check-ins inside or outside of Franklin County, please call KD8IIB.
Net Control, this is Whiskey Delta 8, Juliet, Lima, Papa, Licking County, short time.
PR, Gregory, Delaware County.
WDHJLP, I didn't get to catch your name. Can you come back with that?
Roger that. The name is Mike, and I'm in Licking County. Roger.
Copy. Mike in Licking County. And Gregory, didn't catch your call sign, but hearing your voice and guessing, I'm betting that was WHCAR, correct?
That is correct. W-A-Z-A-R. Whiskey Zulu Alpha Romeo.
Okay, yeah, you got doubled on, so all I got was the name, but I recognized you. Any additional check-ins at this time? Okay, before we go back to Marcel, let's see if anybody else has any additional any additional business they'd like to bring up on the net. We did just go through the leadership team, but I want to give anybody else out there the opportunity, if they have something for the good of the net, please call KD8IIB.
KD8RTP.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'd just like to put a notice out that if anybody knows of somebody who wants to work on getting their technician or general license, have them contact me via email, and I'll help them with that. KD8RTP.
And they can contact you via email, or what's the preferred way there?
Email on our website.
All right, copy that. Patrick, KD8ION, I just had a thought. Maybe you could go through what, I'll tell you what.
part of the leadership team I didn't cover was myself. I forgot to go through my little announcements. Upcoming nets, of course. Next week is the Simplex net with Patrick, and I'm going to ask him to speak a little bit about that in a minute. So, Patrick, be prepared, kind of the format of the net for those that are new. April 29th, next hole will be KD8GUJ, Bill. May 6th is KE8ANW, Brian. May 13th is our scheduled in-person meeting, but depending on how things are, we may have another on-air meeting, probably likely. And May 20th, KA8RLC is the net, and May 27th, N8BJF. Like I said, I wanted to remind everybody that next week's net will be a Simplex net. We do this a couple times a year, sometimes three, and it'll be on the 146.46 Simplex frequency. I will, if I remember, I will send out a one call now email reminding everybody of that prior to the net next week. But Patrick, KDON, can you speak a little bit to the way the net will be? I know some of the people that have been on, you know, around here for a while are familiar with it, but for the newbies, can you speak on how the format will be?
This is KD8ION. Absolutely. How am I coming through the repeater?
Loud and clear, Patrick.
Thank you. So, good evening, Kevin. Good evening, Ned. Yes, next week, 8 p.m., on 146.46 megahertz. Hang those antennas high, and be prepared to try to talk to me on Simplex. Just so everyone knows, I'm just south of Johnstown out in Licking County, but I've been able to contact everyone in the past, with the exception of one or two, on Simplex. So it's a really good opportunity to understand what your Simplex capabilities are if the area's repeaters would happen to go down. What we do is I will take a initial round of check-ins, and I will go quadrant by quadrant. The first quadrant I will call, I will take check-ins, please call me, and then I will ask someone in that quadrant to send out another call. If I did not hear you, wait for your quadrant and call into that person in each quadrant, and they will relay that on to me. It actually flows pretty well. So next Wednesday night, 8 p.m., 146.46 megahertz. Back to you, Kevin.
Thank you, Patrick. Any questions on that for myself, Patrick, or anybody? For that, all we got was carrier, no audio. Before we go back to Dr. Cassavant, do we have any additional check-ins at this time inside or outside of Franklin County in case somebody didn't realize that the net didn't start at 7:30 or that it started at 8, I mean, you know, I said that backwards, but any additional check-ins at this time?
KJ8AM.
KJ8AM, Kevin, got you in there. Anybody else? Okay, Marcel, if you're ready, let's go to part two.
Thank you, Kevin. This is
second half of this presentation is about the bigger picture in Central Ohio in the area served by our host agency, Franklin County Emergency Management and Homeland Security, and particularly from the hospital perspective. We're all very busy, but the hospitals are holding up and holding up well. Even on our busiest days so far, we have still had hundreds of extra ventilators available, hundreds of extra ICU beds available, and plenty of staff available. As you heard, personal protective equipment has been tight, and hospital staff are reusing gear, in many cases, PPE gear that was not meant to be reused. And our non-hospital providers have been struggling to get the PPE gear that they need. The county EMA is taking donations and distributing these effectively. We also do not have nearly the testing capabilities we would like. If someone told you, if you want a test, you can get a test, they were not talking about Central Ohio. Yes, people are dying, and a disproportionate number of hospital and EMS healthcare providers are getting sick and exposed. Recovering, and my XYL told me last night one of my OSU emergency medicine colleagues was first to be able to donate some of his plasma to a sick COVID patient. He's recently recovered from COVID himself, so it's likely his plasma is loaded with antibodies against the disease. Maybe he will help others recover, not just through his emergency medicine expertise, but by making good plasma. We really are not sure where we are on the curve, in part because we've had such limited testing available. But the data we have so far looks like Ohio has indeed been successful flattening the curve. When I spoke last month, we thought we were just about a week behind New York. But while our numbers have continued to increase, their numbers continue to increase so much faster. And if you plot our numbers on their graph, we almost look like a flat line way down at the bottom. I've been attending a weekly webinar called Updates from the Front Lines, where the front lines are different hotspots around the world. And this week's guests were from front lines in London and New Jersey. Both of the doctors who spoke today described horrific scenes at their hospitals, much worse than anything we have seen around here. But both described the last few days as easier than the prior 2 weeks. So even at these hotspots, things may be improving. As for what we can expect in Ohio, my crystal ball is on the fritz. Maybe all the RF in the shack or something like that. Flattening the curve by itself just means we don't all get the disease at the same time. Not that a bunch of us are spared the disease forever. weather is coming. Healthcare providers here are learning a lot of valuable informal lessons from our peers where the fighting has been worse. And research to teach the formal lessons is getting closer to more believable answers. The overflow hospital will be ready if it is needed, and maybe it won't be needed after all. Washington State just packed up their overflow hospital, and it never had a patient. With a lot more testing here, someone smarter than me might be able to tell you what the next few months will look like, but we do not have that testing on which to make intelligent guesses. So please stay safe and healthy, continue social distancing, lots of hand washing, check on your people, and support them as best you can. Be careful with medicines, cleaners, and chemicals around the house. And do call the Poison Center if you need us. This is AD8CM.
Thank you, Marcel. Open up the question and answer session. Does anybody have any questions for Marcel? Please call. Katie, hi, Abby.
November 8, Papa Victor Charlie.
Go ahead, John.
Marcel, I'm curious about this, the testing regime. You hear the federal folks saying the test kits have all been distributed, and yet locally you hear that they don't have what they need to do testing. Where's the disconnect there?
If you were to get sick tonight with symptoms that match, your doctor could order a test for you, and you would be able to get that test. In that regard, some of the claims we're hearing nationally are indeed correct, that those tests are available and more can be performed than what we have. However, if you were to get sick tonight or tomorrow and we got a test, if you came back positive, the next right public health thing to do would be to find who you've been in contact with and test those people and start isolating anyone who came back positive. It's not clear to me we have the public health staff to do that. It is clear we do not have the testing capability. Currently, we are not testing asymptomatic household members of ill patients. We are not testing contacts of ill patients. We have some healthcare providers in the community who have had some exposures, because they are asymptomatic, it's difficult to impossible to get them tested. So to have a good idea of what's happening in our community, we have to sample a lot of asymptomatic people. We are currently not able legitimately to sample really any asymptomatic people. That's the main reason why we still don't have enough testing here. Yes, we can test victims or probable victims, but to figure out what's happening in the community, we couldn't begin to do that with our current capabilities.
Very good, Marcel. Appreciate the answer there.
Anybody else with any questions for Marcel? clear, but no audio. I can hear something real far back in the background, but not, the audio is so low it's unintelligible. Anybody else with any questions for Marcel?
This is WAKWG. I just wanted to relay Kilo Delta 8 Papa Hotel Golf was trying to get in.
Okay, that was Richard. Yeah, his audio is... Unless it was just me, but his audio was so low, I couldn't hear him. Richard, try again.
Sorry about that, Kevin. Is this any better?
A little bit higher, but still really weak, but I think maybe we can hear you.
Okay. Well, it's practically swallowing the microphone. Not sure what's changed with my setup. I'll investigate that. But I've got... Perhaps three questions. It's just a quick kind of follow-up on the convalescent plasma issue that Marcel brought up. In regards to the antibodies that our bodies produce, what's the suggestion or indication, I guess, at this point of how long it is our bodies will be antibodies?
Marcel here, AD8CM. We don't really know, and in particular for this disease, we absolutely do not know the duration of the antibody production. For other viral illnesses, antibodies start being formed before we recover and may play a role in the recovery. However, after our white cells have been stimulated, they start making antibodies, and early after recovery, progressing into the next couple of months, our bloodstreams are often loaded with those antibodies. For many infections, after a few months, the quantity of antibodies against those infections fades and sometimes goes away to very small levels. If this is a disease where if you catch it, you acquire lifelong immunity, it's likely you will always have some antibodies floating around in your bloodstream against this infection. And that's the reason people develop such immunity after infections. However, if this is a sort of infection like the common cold or the seasonal flu, where you can develop antibodies against the infection, but they will not be protective in 6 months or a year, then obviously those antibodies will be all gone and will not be around the next time you get an exposure. Right now, I certainly don't know that, and I don't think the public health community has that answer yet either. This is AD8CM.
Thank you for that, Marcel. Two other questions here. One kind of a follow-on of that. Have you been seeing any of the reports regarding the infected separate strain of the same virus? What I've been denoted as strain A, which is the how closely related those strains are. Are those mutations similar to the level of mutation?
Marcel here, AD8CM. Yes, I have read some information that this virus may have mutated early on in the first few weeks of January, there was some evidence that there may be two different strains. I have not seen their pathogenicity compared, and I don't know how closely they're related. To the extent that question is related to the convalescent plasma question, the good news is when we get sick and we make antibodies against an infection, we make all kinds of antibodies against all kinds of different isotopes associated with that infection. Different components of the cell wall, for instance, sometimes different components of the genetic material that's inside a virus we may have antibodies to. So if there are two different strains, they may yet be closely enough related that some, if not all, of the antibodies against one strain may still have effectiveness against the other strain. But I don't have a firm answer on that. It's purely speculation. I'm not enough familiar with the differences between the strains that have been identified so far. This is AD8CM.
Thanks for your words of wisdom there, Marcel. One last question, unrelated to the convalescent plasma topic, and I'll just take my answer from the air there. But as we're seeing more and more suggestions now that moving forward as part of our quote-unquote strategy may involve more and more people wearing fabric masks in the short term, maybe even in the medium term, as one gets to the point of releasing some of the stay-at-home orders and starting to get things back to normal. In regards to those cloth masks that are being made at home now, do you have any insight or any suggestions on how people might go about cleaning those, or not necessarily sterilizing, but preparing them for just throw them in the washing machine, or any suggestions there. With that, this is KDATHG. I'll take my answer off the air, sir.
Yes, I don't think we're going to be able to achieve medical-grade sterilization at home, but a routine laundry is said by the CDC to be adequate, and one additional step we can take is to get out the old iron and heat it up while it's still moist. That develops some moist heat, which is more effective at killing germs. So if I'm going to try and do that cleaning at home, I would run it through the washing machine with some soap and warm water, and then I would use the iron to dry it up, get it pretty darn hot and steamy there. This is AD8CM.
Okay, the first question I got is, is everybody else hearing the low audio from Richard, or is it just me?
It's Richard, NAPBC.
Okay, I thought so. Just wanted to make sure, because you came through loud and clear. Any additional questions for Marcel? Please go.
NAPBC.
KBAGSQ. I'm just...
had a double there, but John, if you'll hold on. I heard a KB8 station, I believe. KB8 station, identify, and then go ahead.
Yes, this is Mike, KB80SQ, Kilo Bravo 8, Echo Sierra, Quebec. And I just had a couple real quick questions there.
Go ahead, Mike, with your question.
Okay, I just now checked in, was... listening to part of it, so I just turned the radio on here. The vitamin, or I should say mineral zinc, I see that there's a, they're in short supply of that vitamin or mineral. vitamin C and some type of
Marcel here, Alpha Delta 8, Charlie Mike. I didn't get your full question. I think you're asking about zinc and vitamin C. And I would say we all need a healthy, well-balanced diet with plenty of fruits and vegetables. If we're not comfortable, we're getting that. Adding a daily multivitamin is a good idea. Beyond that, I don't know that there's evidence that either zinc or vitamin C will help us prevent this infection, and I don't have any evidence that they're used to treat this infection, and I haven't seen them in the studies of possible treatments that are underway. However, it's a good idea to keep up a healthy, well-balanced diet even during epidemics like this. This may go on for weeks and months and maybe longer. We just don't know just yet what's going to happen here. And I've seen a number of folks who are thinking we can live on baked beans and mac and cheese and stuff like that, but that's not healthy. We need to keep up the fresh fruits and vegetables. Let me know if that doesn't cover your question, sir. This is 88CM.
Thank you, Marcel. I'm having a little... as you look online or whatever, you can't find the some of these vitamins that you normally would, and they're all sold out online and at the store. So I don't know if there's some sort of a people think it does, but however, I don't know.
Okay, KB80SQ, a couple things for you. I do have you checked in the net tonight, and just as an FYI, you are in and out of the repeater quite often, so it's hard to tell what you were saying. But I believe what you were saying is that some of the vitamins and supplements and stuff like that online are unable to be found. Marcel could probably add to that, but I know part of the problem is some of the stuff you see on social media, Facebook, etc., mentions things like zinc and vitamin C and drinking bleach, etc., etc. And so, therefore, just like the toilet paper, there's a run on them, and they become hard to find. But to my knowledge, none of those things are worth anything other than, like Marcel said, about keeping a balanced diet, but they're not a cure. Marcel, you want to add to that?
No, sir, I think you've called it exactly correctly. There are people who suspect and are comfortable posting what their suspicions on social media as the truth. It may be once upon a time somebody like that's going to be right, but just from the perspective of Western medical science, we just don't really think that those are effective treatments or preventions for this at this time. So if you if your neighbors beat you to the store and bought all the vitamin C and zinc, good on them, but you're not really missing out on much. 88CM.
Okay, KB8ESQ. Since you're in and out, I'm assuming that answered your question. So we'll go to see if anybody else has any questions for Marcel.
NAPVC.
Go ahead, John.
So my question has to do with this Battelle sterilization process that they have made available across the country and probably across the world. Are you familiar with that at all? And how effective is it?
ADHCM here. My understanding is they are some really smart people who have said, holy cow, here's some incredibly valuable, expensive, scarce equipment, and our healthcare provider friends in town and all around the world are throwing it out. They have to change it when they go in and out of a room with the patients. They have to put on new equipment before going into the next patient. Lots of stuff is getting thrown out and probably still has a lot of lifespan left. As for what they're doing inside Battelle with the equipment, from my perspective, it's like a great big black box. I know we're putting some about-to-be-discarded equipment into that black box, and I know we're getting some sterilized equipment out of that black box, but I don't know what their process is inside the black box. One of my concerns is that this equipment was not particularly made to be sterilized. I hope that they took that into consideration and have done some testing to make sure the equipment is not going to fall apart when it gets on someone's face, but I don't know about that. One thing I do know is they've sampled a lot of heavily contaminated equipment before it went in, and then sampled it again after it came out. And when they say the devices come out clean and sterile, they mean clean and sterile. I did see a common problem is if the doctor or nurse was wearing makeup and that stained the equipment, their technology was not able to achieve cleaning and sterilization. So they have stopped processing anything that appears to have makeup contamination on it. And I know they're asking our hospitals to screen the equipment before it even gets to Battelle. So there may be some problem with usable lifespan being diminished, but since the equipment was about to be thrown out anyway, it would be hard to accuse them of shortening the lifespan of anything. And I'm confident in their testing after their sterilization procedures that they have achieved what they promised they would achieve when they're returning clean equipment to hospitals. This is ADHCM.
Okay, so I'm guessing that, you know, I think I've seen some makeup on the masks and those kind of things, so I kind of understand that once that's on there, that's on there. It also would seem to me that maybe you wouldn't want to put makeup on since you're going to have this protective equipment on you most of your work day. So anyways, that sounds like a pretty good use to recycle those masks, considering the expense and the fact that you need to change them every time you change to another patient or whatever. NAPVC.
I will say in other areas, the rules to change equipment between patients have sometimes been foregone. And we've seen pictures of physicians and emergency nurses in particular in other countries who put on a mask and then keep it on for 18 to 24 hours. going between patients all the time, but continuing to use the same N95 mask. In some cases, professionals are putting a dust mask or a routine surgical mask over the outside and changing that between patients. In many cases, some of these doctors have posted their pictures on Facebook with significant indentations and bruises from having worn a tight-fitting mask for such a long period of time. And in some cases, they've shown a skin breakdown and blisters as well. So it's also a problem to just keep it on for too long. It is probably worse on the doctor's face than throwing out the equipment. But there are different ways of trying to reduce the amount of otherwise good equipment that's getting discarded. And for my druthers, I'd rather have Battelle clean my mask than have me wear it for 18 hours. 88CM.
Thank you for your comments, NAPBC.
Any more questions for Marcel? Katie, IIB.
This is KB80SQ. I don't know whether this radio, I changed radios. I don't know whether this is working any better, their mic here.
KB8ESQ, 88CM, loud and clear. That's a much better radio, much better copy. Thank you, sir. 88CM.
Just one more comment on the mask. I work in the restaurant field, and we're able to order disposable masks. The elastic kind, they go around your ear and then, of course, over your face and nose. They're telling us that to use those for one complete shift and then discard them. I hope I'm getting the right information on that type of thing we're using. We're trying to, of course, prevent anybody from spreading anything, you know, being in the food area.
So, sir, that type of mask is much less tight-fitting than the N95 masks that are the kind that we're talking about, Battelle sterilizing and causing significant skin injury if doctors have to keep them on for so many hours. So keeping that type of mask on all day should not be a problem to your skin or even to your ears that are holding the mask up. Those masks do reduce the number of germs that can go out and come in, but not nearly by as large a factor as the N95 masks. The surgical masks are better than cloth masks. Cloth masks made at home are better than nothing, but none of those mask types really compare to the efficiency of reducing the COVID size infection compared to the medical grade N95 masks. This is AV8CM.
I do appreciate you answering that question, and yes, we do use quite a lot of hand washing there, and also we do have several hand sanitizer stations, so we're using those quite frequently. So thanks, Marcel. I'm real glad you are answering all these questions here.
Sir, thanks for the good work that you're doing with all the hand washing and continuing to feed the community. And thanks to everybody on the net for your attention tonight. This is 88CM.
RTP.
Go ahead, John.
I just had one question for Marcel. If you could, would you shed a little light on what the N95 actually refers to? I used to work on equipment that used HEPA filters. And isn't the N95, it's 95% effective to a particular particulate size, KD8 RTP?
Yes, sir, you've got the 95% exactly correct, but I also couldn't tell you what is the size that they're looking for. It might be in the 1 to 5 micron range. I can Google that for you later, but maybe somebody on the net already knows that. As far as the N, I believe that's related to the type of material or basic type of the filter. Also, sort of a technology where I have to say I just live on faith. Somebody tells me this is pretty darn good, so that's what I need to wear. So that's what I'll put on, AD8CM.
Thanks, Marcel.
WDAJLP with a query. Go ahead with a query.
Yes, I'd like to go direct with KD8RTP, if I could, please, with a query.
Go direct.
KD8RTP, this is WDAJLP. Hey, John, is there any help for us people that haven't taken our extra test yet? I know we're running out of time with that question pool. Have you heard anything on that?
No, I have not. I have been watching to see if anybody's going to have a test, but it's kind of out in the woods right now. I'll check around and get back to you.
Roger that, John. I appreciate it. I know we're running out of time. I was just hoping that the FCC would extend it a little bit of time, you know, since all this is going on and we couldn't test. So this is WDHALP, and I'm going back to net. Thank you.
KD8RTP, clear.
Okay, do we have any additional questions from Marcel?
AD8CM, additional.
Go ahead.
It looks like the FDA says the 95 part refers to filtering out 95% of 3 micron particles. So not 1 to 5, but 3 for the FDA, and they're not telling me what the N stands for, but I can find that for you. AD8CM.
Gee, you were Googling Marcel just like I was. N stands for NEOS approved, and I found the same thing, 3 micron and 95%, but apparently it stands for NEOS, N-I-O-S-H approval. Check-ins, so if anybody else has any questions for Marcel, his radio can relax a little. At this time, we'll go ahead and take some additional check-ins for the our on-air meeting. Please call net, KD8IIB.
KD8WQT, Jack, Kilo, Delta 8, Whiskey, Quebec, Tango.
November 8, Uniform Tango, India, N8UTI, Ed.
Is KD8WQT Jack and NEUTI Ed. And Ed, we called for you earlier when we went through the leadership team to see if they have anything to add. Do you have anything for the good of the group?
Not really. I did post the updated information on the general class. It's being postponed out to the fall. But that's about it. NEUTI.
Okay, thanks, Ed. Any more additional check-ins? stepped on somebody. Any additional questions for Marcel?
KD8ION.
Patrick, go ahead.
Maybe not specifically for Marcel, but for the benefit of the net. On the Franklin County, Ohio ARES Facebook page, I did post a YouTube video. It's about an hour and 40 minutes, but it's from a caver that I do know. She is a microbiologist, worldwide known for her work in extremophiles, and she put a very interesting YouTube video together for the benefit of the National Speleological Society. But I did post a link to the YouTube video on our Franklin County, Ohio ARES Facebook group. So enjoy that. It's very well done. It's for the layman, so it's very educational. KD8ION.
Okay, Patrick, yeah, I see that. You posted that 1 minute ago. I see that on there. Any additional questions or comments for Marcel? I'd like to ask all the questions, Marcel. Any closing comments from you before we go back to the regular net part?
Thanks all for your interest and attention and for your readiness to help the community. Stay safe, stay healthy. Marcel, AD8CM.
Okay, thank you very much, Marcel, for your knowledge tonight. John, any PVC, any closing comments for you before we close the net?
Yes, sir, Kevin. First off, I'd like folks to use repeaters more. I mean, a lot of us are locked up at home. I'm not able to go out, so that would be great if we could do a little bit more conversation on the repeaters. That's number one. Secondly, if you have not checked in or registered for this event on ARES Connect, do that. I know that Kevin will probably mention that again before the net is over. And again, I appreciate Dr. Casavant spending time with us. I know both times it's been very interesting and a lot of knowledge out of these discussions. So I thank him for that. And that'll be it, Kevin. Back to you, NAPBC.
Okay, thanks, John. And as an FYI, I just looked up NIOSH. It stands for the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. Okay, final round of check-ins for the net. Hearing no check-ins, like John mentioned, if you have not signed up in ARES Connect, please do. You can get it to ARRL.volunteerhub.com/LP/OH, or it's on our website at Franklin County, Ohio, Franklin County ARES, Franklin County, Ohio ARES.org. So with no further check-ins, I will now close our on-air meeting. Let me look and see what time it is. It's 8:49, so rounding up, everybody can claim, everybody that's checked in at 7:30 could claim 1.5 hours in ARES Connect for this evening's net. With that, we'll close it and say thanks, everybody. Talk to you later. This is KD8IIB returning over to normal amateur operation, the repeater.